text number 157. Translation by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Satchidananda Vigraha. This means that he originally has three potencies: the pleasure potency, the potency of originality, and the potency of knowledge. Together, these are called the Chit potency, and they are present in full in the Supreme Lord. For the living entities who are part and parcel of the Lord, the pleasure potency in the material world is sometimes displeasing and sometimes mixed. This is not the case with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is not under the influence of the material energy or its modes. So now we'll go to text number 58, which you should be able to see on your screens, and it is the verse with the purport. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his original form, is full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. The spiritual potency in these three portions, Sat, Chit, Ananda, and Ananda, assumes three different forms. Prabhupada by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. According to the verdict of all Vedic literature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity, and the illusory energy, this material world, constitute the subject matter of knowledge. Everyone should try to understand the relationship between them. First of all, one should try to understand the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From the Shastras, we understand that the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the sum total of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. As stated in verse 152, Vishnu Shakti Parapraktha, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the reservoir of all potencies, and his potencies are all spiritual. So we'll start off by reciting the Mangala Charanam prayers to invoke auspiciousness. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sitadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Rama Rama Hare Hare. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ascacadishatarine. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So I've prepared some slides just to make it a bit more interactive and easier for you to follow since we are so remote. So just the context of this verse, you know, the context is so valuable. So this pastime is one of the most important and significant pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas, and after taking sannyas, he had decided to make Jagannath Puri his base. So Mahaprabhu traveled to Jagannath Puri, and when he arrived at Jagannath Puri, he went to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. And the moment Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, he went into transcendental ecstasy and he fainted. And there was a great panic among the servants of Lord Jagannath. So eventually Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was a leading figure in the management of Lord Jagannath's temple, he was called and he took Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu home. And I won't recite the entire pastimes, but essentially Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was very attracted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he made some inquiries about the background of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he found out that he took sannyas initiation from Keshav Bharati Maharaj, who was considered, in the opinion of the Vedantists and the tradition in which Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came, to be a third class sannyas lineage. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being attracted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he felt that it was his duty to now raise Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the standard of a first-class sannyas, meaning one who was very well-versed in Vedanta philosophy. And there's some very interesting conversations, between Gopinath Acharya, brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, about this decision that he had taken to try to uplift the position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was told in the most uncertain terms that this is a mistake because he cannot see or identify who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Anyway, in his goal to educate Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he decided to speak Vedanta philosophy to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 7 days. And for 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke Vedanta philosophy, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was silent. He never said one word. He simply listened. And at the end of 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had some doubts whether Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been able to assimilate what he had just spoken.
Silent.
Yes. Sorry.
He simply listened. And at the end of 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had some doubts whether Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had
Prabhu, been I'm getting some feedback here. Can you all hear me?
What he had just said.
It's okay. It's muted. You can continue. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Okay, let me go back. So you can see my screen now, Prabhu? Yeah, okay. So he asked, he had some doubts whether Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had assimilated what he had just spoken. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, I have. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, but I have some doubts whether you have, because the subject matter I presented, you know, is quite deep. And normally, if you was understanding, you would have some questions. But you have asked no questions. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responds. He responds. Now this Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's response and this pastime of the liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, it is very significant. And there's an analogy given by our acharyas to explain why it is so significant. And the metaphor, the analogy of the touchstone is used. He said, touchstone is a very, very valuable object. Chintamani. And anything touchstone touches, any iron it touches, it becomes gold. But if one just sees touchstone, one can have very little idea about its value because it looks very ordinary. One would not recognize this as something very valuable, touchstone. But if you take that touchstone and you touch it to iron, and then that iron turns to gold, then we realize this is not any ordinary stone. This is a very valuable stone. So in the same way, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he was in one sense not very well known, hardly known. In fact, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into ecstasy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came and carried him and had him taken to his home, he had no idea who the sannyasi really was. But after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the greatest scholar of his time, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even says that in these verses, that you are the greatest scholar. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya from a staunch Vedantist to a stalwart Vaishnav, then everyone stood up and took notice. Who is this sannyasi? What is he presenting? And what spiritual shakti or power he must have to convert the greatest Vedantist of the time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So this is, in the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is very significant. In fact, the transformation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, it was so overwhelming, it was so significant, that there's one pastime where one day Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he came to the Lord and he offered his respects. And he began to recite one very famous prayer of Lord Brahma's from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, 14th chapter 8th verse, which many of you all know. Tate nukampa su samikshamano bunjan evatma kritam vipakam tidvag vapurbi vidhadhan namaste jivita yo bhakti pada sadhaya bhak. So we all know this verse. And we know that the final line of this verse is Jivita Yo Muktipada Sadhayabak. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances within his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had experienced such a transformation from being a Vedantist that he could no longer tolerate the word mukti in this verse, muktipade, which means to the position of liberation. And he changed the verse. He changed the verse to bhaktipade. A person who devotes his body, mind, and speech to the service of the Lord, even though in the midst of miserable life caused by his passings, he is short of liberation. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like shocked. He's changing even the word. He can't tolerate mukti. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I really, really appreciate your sentiments about the supremacy of bhakti, but we can't really change the text. So this was the effect of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's on Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And the transformation was so complete that it really brought the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the attention of everyone. So there are a few significant points from the verses, which we will draw some attention to. But the most significant point I just want to make at the outset is the overall themes of the verses from 152 to 158. It's very significant. It is significant because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in these verses, he is describing how the Lord has multifarious potencies. And if we study the verses and the purports from text 152 to 158, we will observe something significant. And that is, there is multiple mention of the words potencies or potency in both the verses and Srila Prabhupada's purport. Now there's a very specific and a very important reason why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing this. And a bit later on, we shall spend some time discussing it in today's session. And it's very important in the sense that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now refuting the arguments of the greatest Vedantists. And to understand the line of argument that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adopts in his refutation, it is both very interesting and very important in our understanding of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. So we will touch a bit more about that, and we will do that in the context of Jivshila Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas, six Sandarbhas. So just to touch on a few salient points in text number 157. So in text number 157, there is a description of one of the Lord's potencies. The Lord has multifarious potencies. And there's the description of the chit potency. And the chit potency is referred to as the Lord's internal potency. And just like the external energy of the Lord has the three divisions characterized by the three modes of material nature, sattva-gun, raja-gun, and tamagun, goodness, passion, and ignorance. In the same way, the Lord's internal potency has three divisions. And there is mentioned, he originally has three potencies, the pleasure potency, the potency of eternality, and the potency of knowledge. Together, these are called the chit potency, and they are present in full in the Supreme Lord. And here, the Ladhini potency is the pleasure potency, Sandini potency is the eternity potency, and the Samvit potency is the knowledge potency. So just bear this in mind for our future discussion, because it's important and relevant. The verse itself makes an important statement, verse 157. There it stated, "For the living entities who are part and parcel of the Lord, the pleasure potency in the material world is sometimes displeasing and sometimes mixed. This is not the case with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is not under the influence of the material energy or its modes." So this is quite a profound statement. And, you know, what is really meant by this? In the preface, in his preface and introduction to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada makes some important statements in connection with Samvit, Ladini, and Sandini potencies, the three divisions of the internal potencies, which are combinedly called the Chit potency. And Srila Prabhupada writes there that the Ladini potency is Krishna's pleasure potency. And then Srila Prabhupada writes, "All living entities have this pleasure-seeking potency, for all beings are trying to have pleasure. This is the very nature of the living entity. At present, we are trying to enjoy our pleasure potency by means of the body in the material condition. By bodily contact, we are attempting to derive pleasure from material sense objects. But we should not entertain this nonsensical idea that Krishna, who is always spiritual, also tries to seek pleasure on this material plane." So the first important point there is that we as living entities, we have some endowment of the pleasure-seeking potency. Very small. Just like a drop of water has the same qualities as the big ocean. The tiny living entity also has the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada also elaborates on this point in a purport in the sixth canto, fourth chapter, 27th verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, a very nice purport. In there he quotes the verse, "Aladini Sandini Sambit Twayeka Sarva Samstito Lada Tapakari Mishra Twayino Guna Varjite." In the material world, the spiritual energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifested as tapakari, which means causing miseries. So that's interesting. So that spiritual energy, Ladini Sandini Sambit, the chit potency, is manifested in the material world, Srila Prabhupada writes, as tapakari, which means miseries. And it's the same, this word tapakari is also used in verse 158, which we've been discussing today. And Prabhupada says that everyone hankers for happiness. But although happiness originally comes from the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the material world, because of material activities, the pleasure potency of the Lord becomes a source of misery. Tapa, lada tapakari. False happiness in the material world is a source of distress. But when one endeavors for happiness, one is redirected towards satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This tapakari element of misery is vanquished. So we've read many times in Srila Prabhupada's purport that all of the Lord's energy are spiritual. Even the material energy, so to speak, is spiritual. It is just a matter of perception. There's one interesting pastime. Satyanandan Swami says in the memory series of Srila Prabhupada, he says when he first met Srila Prabhupada, he had a question. And his question to Srila Prabhupada was, "Why did Krishna create Maya?" This was his question to Srila Prabhupada. "Why did Krishna create Maya?" And in a flash, Srila Prabhupada responded very firmly, "Krishna did not create Maya. You created Maya. You created Maya." Meaning that this material energy or the energies of the Lord is all spiritual. It is our perspective of how we view that energy. When we view that energy for our own sense gratification, for our own purpose, then it transforms to become material. But the same energy, when it's used for the service of Krishna, it becomes spiritual. We all know in the early days of ISKCON, how Srila Prabhupada would say, this is a spiritual mic, this is a spiritual car, and the devotee was thinking, this is far out. This is far out, a spiritual car, a spiritual microphone. Srila Prabhupada was making the point, it's a question of utility. Everything is spiritual when it is properly utilized. But when it's wrongly utilized, that's when the difficulties arise. So that is some explanation. Also, our acharyas give an interesting perspective of the three potencies, the Sandini, the Sambit, and the Ladini. Our acharyas have explained that there is a potency called the Kripa Shakti. And the Kripa Shakti is the combination of the Samvit and the Ladini Shakti. And it is, the Acharyas mentioned this in the context of reaching the stage of Bhava Bhakti. When Krishna becomes extremely pleased by a devotee's service and his mood and his determination to want to serve him, then he does something very rare. Therefore, one of the characteristics, six characteristics of pure devotional service is sudurlabha. Pure devotional service is very rare. And the two reasons it's very rare, Srila Rupa Goswami cites in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the first reason is that the living entity is not very eager to have Bhava Bhakti. And secondly, Krishna is not very eager to give it. But some fortunate living entities, by pleasing Guru and Krishna, Krishna feels very, very disposed towards that living entity. And at that point, by the Guru, by the holy name, by Krishna bestows his Kripa Shakti on this devotee. And this Kripa Shakti is the combination of the Samvit and the Ladini potency, has a tremendous effect in two ways. Firstly, by being endowed with the Samvit potency, the potency of knowledge, the devotee has the first real glimpse of who Krishna is. Like in these verses we were quoting, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. That Krishna's body is made up of Satchit and Ananda. His body is Satchit Ananda. Vigraha is the embodiment of these potencies. You know, for most of one's spiritual life, one has some theoretical knowledge of what Krishna's form, what Krishna's body, who Krishna really is. But when one gets endowed with this Samvit, this knowledge potency, the whole aspect of who Krishna really is opens up to the devotee. And then the devotee feels, you know, completely and more intensely attracted to Krishna. And on the opposite side, when Krishna endows that devotee with the Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency, then Krishna simply cannot have enough of that devotee. Krishna becomes so attracted by that devotee because of the presence of the Ladini Shakti in that devotee, that Krishna becomes so sold out to that devotee. So that's some interesting comments and perspective that some of our acharyas give on the Samvit and the Ladini Shakti in the perspective of it being known as the Kripa Shakti. So now I want to move on to the significance about potencies. What is the significance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in these verses that he is quoting to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? Why is he saying so much potency, potency, potency? You will see so much about potency. And even in Srila Prabhupada's purport, about potencies. To understand this, because Srila Jiva Goswami has given us a very brilliant panoramic view of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy in his Sandarbhas. Now, I'm not a scholar of the Sandarbhas. I'm not a Sanskrit scholar. But I've tried to listen to different senior devotees give their perspective on the significance of the Sandarbhas. And I'll try to, in the remaining minutes of the class, just give some, the Acharya's insights into the great meaning of the potencies. We have all heard Srila Prabhupada often quote this verse from the Asvaita Ashvatthara Upanishad. Parasya Shakti Vividheva Surate Swabhayavika Swabhayavika Jnana Bhala Kriya Cha. The Supreme Lord has multipotencies which act so perfectly that all consciousness, strength and activity are being directed slowly by His will. So firstly, let's just touch upon what is Srila Jiva Goswami's main goal in his presentation of the Sandarbhas. And many Vaishnava scholars who have studied Sandarbhas, they have come to one conclusion. And they've said that the main goal of Srila Jiva Goswami in the Sandarbhas is that he wants to show the supremacy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. He wants to show that this is the highest teaching. There is no higher teaching than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. And Srila Jiva Goswami, he adopts a very interesting strategy about in how he goes about establishing the supremacy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. And essentially, it is a three-step strategy. And the first part of the strategy is to establish that Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest source of valid knowledge. Right? Then the second point he wants to do, he wants to establish that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srimad Bhagavatam teaches Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. And the third point, by natural inference, is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is the highest philosophy. You know, if we take the first point to be A, the first point to be, second point to be B, and the third point to be C, you know, according to natural logic, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So Srila Jiva Goswami goes about doing this. And his strategy is very interesting, how he goes about doing that. And he firstly starts about saying that there are three three different sources of knowledge. And what are the three different sources of knowledge? Is Pratyaksha, Hanuman, and Shabda, meaning sense perception, inference, and then revelation. These are the three primary sources of obtaining knowledge. You can obtain knowledge through directly through the senses, secondly through inference, and lastly through revelation. So he asked the question, okay, so in terms of the Vedic tradition, what is the revelation? In what shape or form does the revelation come? And then he goes on to say that revelation comes in the form of the Vedas. And then he goes on to show how the essence of the Vedas is the Puranas. And he gives some reasons, with time moving on, maybe I won't get too caught up on that. And then he goes on to show that of all of the Vedas, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the cream. It's the essence of all Vedic literature. But that is a completely different subject matter, which we won't get into. Then he goes on to adopt a very interesting strategy. And he asks the question, or he makes the point, he says, we have a real challenge here in drawing the points, his conclusion, that Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest source of valid knowledge. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, Srimad Bhagavatam teaches Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. But what he says is, this is quite a big challenge, because Srimad Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses. And there's such a vast amount of knowledge contained in Srimad Bhagavatam. And then coupled with that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy itself is so vast. So how do we go about, drawing the conclusion that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the highest philosophy? And then he adopts a very interesting strategy. He says, what if we can distill down the essence, the core teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam? And what if we can distill the essence, the core teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy? And if we distill the essence of both and then they correlate, then three becomes a given. So much of his Tattva Sandarbha is dedicated towards doing this. And he, first of all, attempts to condense Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. And if we were, as an exercise, if we were to try to condense Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy into one idea, into one concept, into one essence or one philosophical point, what would that be? He raises the question. That would be an interesting question for all of us who are students and followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we were to distill the essence and the concept into one idea, what would that be? And, different devotees have different ideas. You ask them, they say, Kinta Veda, Veda Tattva, Golaka Prema Dhan, Harinam Sankirtan, Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayo Dasa Dasa Anudasa, Jivera Swarup Hoy, Krishnera Nityadas. We may have some different ideas. What is the essence, the core philosophical point, the key idea of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching? And then Srila Jiva Goswami then goes on to explain that the key idea, if we can distill Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy into one key philosophical point, that would be the idea or the point of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that God is a person and everything related to him is personal and transcendental. And Srila Jiva Goswami explains that this is the essence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. That is the idea of Bhagavan. And he goes on to explain that the idea of Bhagavan, or Jiva Goswami's idea of Bhagavan, is that Bhagavan is a very technical term. It is not just a generic term like, you know, we hear in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavan Narad, Bhagavan Vyas, sometimes even Bhagavan Indra. So Jiva Goswami is not going to look at the concept of Bhagavan from a generic perspective. He looks at it from a very technical perspective. And then he asks the question, what is the most important attribute which makes God a person? What is that most important attribute which makes God a person? Now, if we were asked that question, you know, we would have different ideas and different answers. That he has six opulences. He is attractive. All attractive. He is loving. He has feelings. He has relationships. So we may have so many responses. But Srila Jiva Goswami says, but there is one concept which brings together all of these ideas. There is one concept that brings together all of these ideas. And what is that concept? He says, this is the concept of shaktis or potencies. And he says, God has energies. It is the one attribute of quality which brings all of his energies together. And when we say someone is a person or individual, what does it mean? It means that some person or that object, he has the ability to interact. He has the ability to act. He has the ability to behave. He has the ability to display certain qualities. Or in another word, he has certain capabilities or capacities. When one has the capacity to eat, to drink, to sing, to dance, to talk, to interact, to behave, that means he has capacities and potencies. So if we can show that God is a person who has energies, that he interacts, that he has potencies, then we have reached the core of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. And dear devotees, this is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his conversation with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you can see potencies, 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 potencies. Why? Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is demonstrating that through showing that Bhagavan, he has these potencies, we can demonstrate that he is the person. So this is Srila Jiva Goswami's idea, and in his Bhagavat Sandarbha, this is his technical definition of what Bhagavan means. Tadevam Sachidanandaika Rupas Swarupa Buddha Chintya Vichitra Nanta Shakti Yukta Dharmatya Eva Dharmitvam. And he gives this extremely long technical definition of the meaning of Bhagavan. And I'll just quickly, I'm conscious of time moving on, and we've got a few minutes more. I'll just give you a translation of this verse. He whose form is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss, who possesses inconceivable, wonderful, unlimited potencies, who is religion and the most religious person, who is non-different from everything and who is different from everything in many ways, who has no form and who has form, who is all-pervading and localized, who is an ocean of limitless, mutually contradictory qualities, who by his own wish alone manifests his transcendental form, which is completely different from the gross and subtle elements of the material world, whose left side is decorated by the presence of his personal potency, Lakshmi Devi, whose transcendental form is like his, whose transcendental form is splendidly manifested among his splendid associates in his transcendental abode, whose potencies, wonderful, playful qualities, pastimes and features fill the great devotees with wonder, who is identical with the impersonal Brahman, who is the shelter and sustenance of the marginal potency, that is the individual spirit souls, and whose abhyasa shakti manifests limitless material universe, is known as Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by the wise. And then, you know, we don't have much time, but Jiva Goswami then goes about showing two important aspects of Bhagavan, very important aspects. The first, that is aprakrita, is non-material. And secondly, that everything connected to him is swab bhavika, is inherent. It is part of his nature. But that by itself is a whole very, very interesting, discussion. I'll just conclude by saying that, you know, our Srila Prabhupada, is so brilliant in how he coined the term the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this, just these three words, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada is encapsulated, beautifully encapsulated, the meaning of Bhagavan, the definition of Bhagavan. You know, sometimes a lot of people say, you know, why does your teacher, your acharya, why doesn't he just say God? You know, why does he come up with this convoluted term, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because of this very purpose, because it sits at the heart of the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the definition and the concept of Bhagavan. So it's 25 past 8 now. I shall stop here and I will see if anyone's got any questions or comments.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. It was a very wonderful class when we remembered again the context of Sarvabhauma's Bhattacharya meeting with Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. And then we go on with the description of the Ladini Shaktis, of the Shaktis of the Lord, and now this last bit of presentation on the Sandarvas, Sat Sandarvas, Bhagavat Sandarvas by Jiva Goswami. So there's one question coming from the temple room. Let me just read it out. And it's in relation to the verse that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya changed. The question goes like this: what is the difference between Mukti Padi and Bhakti Padi? Please, can you explain further, as this is not clear? Thank you very much.
Okay. Firstly, the word Mukti. Mukti means liberation. And we understand that there's five different types of liberation. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila, he gives some very nice understanding of the difference between liberation and bhakti. But in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says the liberation, these five types of liberation, you know, having the same features of the Lord, living on the same planet of the Lord, having the same opulences, similar opulences, and then merging into the impersonal. So there are different types of liberation. But Srila Rupa Goswami explains the distinction between the happiness that comes from sense gratification the happiness that comes from liberation and the happiness that comes from devotional service. The happiness that comes from devotional service, the happiness that, if you compare it to the happiness that comes from liberation, it's completely off the scale. It's off the scale. Because devotional service is so supreme above all other processes, and it delivers a supreme goal compared to all other processes, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he didn't feel that, this verse was talking about surrender to the Lord, mukti is in the right context there. This verse is saying, that one throughout his life just tolerates all difficulties while all at the same time being completely dependent on the Lord, seeing the Lord as his maintainer and protector, surrender to the Lord. This word mukti doesn't sit comfortably, because Krishna, he can give mukti very easily. But bhakti, he doesn't give very easy. Bhakti is very special. Bhakti, one cannot compare mukti to bhakti. So one of the reasons he wanted to change it to mukti, because firstly he felt the concept of mukti was not very, appealing. And secondly, as a preacher, as a Vaishnav who wants to attract the people to the process of bhakti, because savai pumsa paro dharma, yato bhakti adokshaje, ahaitukri apratihata, yayatma suprasidati. Yayatma suprasidati. It is only devotional service that can completely satisfy the self. So understanding that it's only devotional service that can completely satisfy the self, the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnavacharyas, they have only an interest in promoting bhakti, because it's only bhakti can completely satisfy the self. They have no interest in promoting anything else. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. I would like to clarify some other points in regards to the presentation.
Sure.
And, there was a quote, I think was from Prabhupada, that when we were mentioning the three potencies, Sandini, yes, Ladini, and Samvit, and you, yes, made this part in yellow where he was saying that the jivas are looking for pleasure.
Yes.
And then after that, the phrase said, this is the very nature of the living entity.
Yes.
So this comes in a context before was mentioned the Ladini potency. So my question and my need for clarity is, the Ladini potency, the Ladini Shakti, is that the nature of the living entity, or what is the nature of the living entity?
Well, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained that, the Lord has different Shaktis, the external, the marginal, and the internal. The nature of the living entity, just the example I gave, is just like a drop of water you take from the ocean. It has the same qualities of the ocean. It's liquid, it's salty, and so on. So the difference is in the quantity. The quality is the same, but the quantity is different. So we understand that Krishna's complete in the three potencies of the Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. So we, the living entity, we are a small portion of Krishna. So in the same way, we have small aspects of those potencies. So we are endowed with the pleasure potency. And therefore, we are always pleasure-seeking. But it's very tiny, and in the material atmosphere, it's covered. Does that answer your question, Prabhu?
Yes, thank you. And I don't know if this is appropriate, but we also often hear that the Ladini potency is usually embodied by Srimati Radharani.
Yes, yes. I think the verse says that, that they have their personal manifestations, each of these potencies. I'm just looking at the verse itself. It says that the spiritual potency in these three portions, Satchit and Ananda, assumes three different forms. So the embodiment of the Ladini Shakti is Srimati Radharani.
My question is if the knowledge potency, the Samvit Shakti, is that embodied in the personality of Sri Balaramji?
Is the embodiment of the Samvit potency?
The knowledge, yeah, that's my question. If he embodies the knowledge potency.
To be honest, Prabhu, I'm a bit hesitant to speak out of turn here. I'm not sure. I need to check that. Maybe if there's anyone in the audience that has more clarity on that, they can answer your question.
Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So unless anyone manifests, I think we'll end the class here. There's no further questions. So I'd like to thank you very much for all your presentation and for your availability to be here with us and for preparing even a slideshow and making this class more interactive and easy to reach, easier to digest. It was very nice. Thank you so much.